They're two men who have combined to lift the claret jug four times. In this Golf Channel podcast special, Nick Faldo and Johnny Miller are joined on a conference call to preview the Open and share their thoughts for next week at Royal Birkdale.
I'd like to bring in Nick and Johnny to offer up some initial thoughts heading into the Open next week. Nick, we'll start with you. You mentioned on the start of the call that Royal Birkdale was the site of your first 72-hole tournament win in 1978, the British PGA. So give us your thoughts on the course next week and the Open next week.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I think Birkdale is one of my favorite courses, especially one of my favorite links, because we deem it a little fairer. The fairways are a little flatter, but you know the sand dunes are fantastic and very demanding. I've been watching the weather forecast. You know, it's only been in the 60s and a lot of rain. So, wind. So I think the premium is going to be on tee to green. Golf course is going to play very, very long, very difficult. And it's a challenging golf course. It's a great course, great venue, good town. Designed next door to Southport. So it has the potential to have a great atmosphere again.
All right, great. Johnny, give us your initial thoughts. Going into Royal Birkdale, that's one of your favorite places, so give us your thoughts on heading into the Open next week.
Well, after last year's amazing duel between Mickelson and Stenson, 20 under par won it. I mean, that's crazy. I don't see that happening. Do you, Nick, this year? Not going to be that many under.
No, not even close to that. No.
Yeah. Last time they played the Open at Birkdale, Padraig Harrington, and I guess some tougher weather, but he was 3 over par, which won it. And, the bottom line is it's a strong golf course, even though it's only 7,173 yards. Interesting, the front nine is 3,417 yards. That's like a nothing course, you say, on paper. And the back nine is over 300 yards longer at 3,756. So, of course, the two par fives are at the finish, 15th and 17th holes. But it has a couple of super, super hard holes on that front nine, even though it's only 3,400 yards. The first hole is just one of the toughest opening holes in all of championship golf. And then the sixth hole might be the toughest hole in all of championship golf. So it's got two brutal holes on the front nine, even though it's fairly short. But, I'm excited to go back there and sort of see if my memory resurrects. I remember a lot of the holes, but I don't remember every hole perfectly. So I'm looking forward to, seeing the course and getting my feelings. But I really believe it's an accuracy course. You know, it's been a bomb and gouge. You know, bomb the driver out there. Doesn't matter where it goes. Hit your 9 iron on the rough or wherever you are, and you can hack it onto the green. That's probably not going to work this week. I see a lot of guys. The reason why I won the Open in 76 is my caddy literally made me hit a 1 iron. I just hit a 1 iron like 12 out of the 14 tee shots. And I can see a lot of driving irons and 3 woods off the tee like Stenson did last year. So I just don't think it's unless you get on a tear like Dustin Johnson gets sometimes with a bomb driver down the middle. I don't see the driver being, you got to be a little careful. You got to be very careful because the hillocks are these mounds of sand and, fescue, and they got some bushes. And I mean, it's you need to hit fairways is the bottom line. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a very, very interesting golf course. I think really underrated. It gets the third largest galleries of all the British Opens, Open Championships behind St. Andrews, gets the biggest galleries on Liverpool, then Birkdale. So obviously the people do support it at Birkdale. And, it's provided some really, really fine champions, in the past. So we'll see.
Johnny, you alluded to the past champions. I was looking at the list, and I think everybody that's won there, with the exception of Ian Baker Finch, is in the Hall of Fame. What do you suppose that says about the golf course that you can recall anyway in terms of separating the men from the boys?
Well, one of the problems in some majors is if you get the course too tricky or too tough, it sort of blows, a lot of times it blows the top players out of it. And Birkdale just seems to be the right amount of test that allows the top players to hang in there if they're playing good golf. You know, there's no guarantee, but, you know, there are some courses that at the end you get a bunch of people you had no idea were going to be there, and the good players have missed the cut or they haven't done anything. So it is it's sort of a fine line when you set up a championship to set it up firm, I mean, semi-tough, but, you know, fairly. So and I think Birkdale, like Nick said, the fairways are not so bumpy and hilly, and so if you do hit fairways, you can score. And so I just think it's a super fair test. I really do.
Mitch, and you thought it was underrated. Why do you suppose that is? Just because it hasn't been in the rotation as long as some of the other ones?
Well, I'll tell you, since it's gotten the rotation, it's got a ton of championships. It definitely, the galleries that I mentioned being third biggest, yeah, it's definitely in the heat of it. It's just, I think everybody thinks of the Open Championship. I don't know what you think, Nick, but, you know, they think Scotland, you know. But, you know, this one is in England, which is nice, really.
Last year's duel was between Mickelson and Stenson was just off the charts. Who do you see as some of the favorites coming into this week?
Go ahead, Nick. I'll finish it up. But who you got any feelings about it?
Well, I think I've just been watching the weather all the last 2 weeks for fun, and you know it's been in the 60s. It's been raining, windy. So I like all the guys who can hit it low. You know, low draws or low fades, which you've got to have a low, strong ball flight. And there's lots of guys who've been doing it, lots of guys playing well. I mean, you're going to lean. It's always great for one a couple of weeks before. And obviously, what John Rahm's just done, what Tommy Fleet was just done, what the guys have been doing in America. You know, the strong hitters in America as well. I think the European boys might have a quite a shock coming from America. Everywhere is stinky hot. To come to Britain, they're going to, you know, have to be wrapped up. Where the European tour has been, you know, they've been in France, they've been in Ireland, now they're in Scotland. They're really well acclimatized. So I think it's important for American players to get over there early and get the feel of it. All the obvious names will find a way to get up there, because as we both agreed, the course is fair. And if you're playing good, if you've got good penetration with that, then you're really going to enjoy the week there. It's a great, challenging golf course.
You know, the one thing that, you know, the real hot shots in golf, like Dustin Johnson and Rory and Jason Day, and even Sergio and Stenson and Fowler, and, you know, even Justin Thomas recently, Mickelson, they're all a little... They're not on the top of their game right now, so I don't know what to expect, because majors are a whole different animal. You know, Nick was awfully good at majors. He knew how to play them and win them. But Hideki Matsuyama, you know, I know there's a lot of pressure for a Japanese to win the first major, but I think he's the best player right now. I think, you know, tournament in and tournament out, he's his bad shots are really good, which is what you need at Birkdale. And I think that he's ready to win. I think he's I can't pick a winner, by the way. But if I was guessing that one, and then Sergio, of course, after winning the Masters, he's been sort of on a, you know, and that's sort of a romance time. He's just sort of cruising along, you know, not doing too much. But he might be ready. I don't know, you know. And Stenson, maybe he feels, hey, I'm going to win two in a row. So, but that three wood could win him the at Birkdale, no doubt about that.
I have kind of a strange question for Johnny that I was asking Mike Tirico about recently. As someone who grew up in the U.S., presumably calling the event a British Open, do you sometimes have to remind yourself to use the more, you know, the preferred British method that you guys, you know, name that you guys now use, the Open Championship, or does that come naturally to you at this point?
The Open Championship is incorrect. It's now the Open, you see.
Oh, okay.
It's gone from the British Open, the Open Championship, now it's the Open. So
Yeah, I have trouble with it. I screwed up one time last year, if you call it a screw up, which is pretty good in 4 days. But you know, it was always the British Open because you had the U.S. Open and the British Open. It just made sense that, you know, you differentiated them as an American. And Estelle, even when I talk to groups or corporate groups or something, I will still refer to the U.S. Open and the British Open because if I say the Open, a lot of Americans, you know, casual golf fans, they don't know what you're talking about. So, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know if the politically correctness has gotten to Britain or not, but the bottom line is you got to do it right. We got a whole sheet of things you're supposed to say or not say. So, so the Open. That's right.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Now, in another 5 years, it'll be just called the.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Nick, I've heard a lot of funny descriptions. How would you describe that clubhouse? You've probably seen it more than Johnny has over the years.
I haven't. Yeah. What did I call it? Retro Southport or something, you know. It's a classic British, you know, some of our architecture, and they, of course, love it. Then they make them protected. They make them grade two listed buildings. So, it's very British, very South. It's lovely. Grand.
Johnny, what do you remember about 76 and the duel with Seve, since that was sort of the first introduction to the world for him? I think you played with him in the third round, if I remember correctly. And what made that day, those days, memorable there, winning that year?
Yeah, on Saturday, he was leading after the first day, tied, and then he led outright after the second, and then after the third, he led by a couple shots. And bottom line is, I was paying attention to him because he's a good-looking guy, and he had that big old swing, you know, sort of a big full backswing and slashed at it. But I was doing my own thing, you know. I was playing a whole different game to him. I played that, I call it British Open back then because it was the British Open then. I played it like a Nick Faldo. I wish I had enough brains to have played more majors that way and basically let my irons do the talking. In other words, hit the one off the tee and then let my irons do the talking. Where he was, it was no one irons off the tee for him. It was driver every single hole. So he hung in there on Saturday, but Sunday I played with him also, and the pressure being 19 and an unknown, and he was just hitting it everywhere. That driver just went sideways. So, he was fun to watch, but, I was trying to win a major, and my game was good, and I was determined to beat him. And, he just, as it turned out, I ended up winning by 6 shots. So Jack Nicklaus didn't have a real great open championship, and then Seve just had the bad last round. So, yeah, but I can't say I was feeling really bad that he was hitting it all over.
Hey, one more for you, Johnny. You guys are going to be on the air, basically all night and all day as it's airing here in the States, and you don't drink caffeine. How are you going to pull that off?
Well, they're starting to see that my blonde hair is now gray, so I cut down my hours a little bit. So, the old days of and the Ryder Cup being on for 12 straight hours on a Saturday, or like last year, I was on 8 hours on the weekend. And so my hours, I think, are going to be cut back a little bit. But, yeah, it's getting crazy how many hours are being covered at golf championships, isn't it, Nick? I mean, come on. In the old days when I started, a couple hours, 3 hours was a big show. And, in the old days of Venturi, he would be doing just the back nine at the Masters, So it's just getting where everything's getting covered, Who knows? They're going to be covering the shower. I don't know. It's getting crazy. But
it's good, though, right? I mean, we got all these extra TV channels, and they've got space to fill. So if you've got it, you got bit by the bug, I mean, and you want to watch it, it's awesome.
Yeah, but, when you're on 12 hours and you make one mistake and all they talk about is the one mistake, you think you wouldn't make a mistake in 12 hours of coverage? So, there's pressure there. You got to keep your wits about you. and say, you know, you got to be careful what you say nowadays a bit. Not that I'm very careful, but but I mean, I sometimes I cross the line. I'm always near the line, but yeah, it's. I don't know what you think of all this coverage, Nick, but it, Sir Nick, I should say. But it's getting pretty crazy.
Well, you know, I don't. Day one, Thursday and Friday, I know I'm on from 12 to 4. Johnny's in an afternoon segment where I go off and have my afternoon tea, and then I'll take it to 9 o'clock, which is past my bedtime. So that's going to be – and then I'll crawl home and start again. I'm looking forward to – I mean, when it's good golf, when it's a championship like that, you know, I'm quite happy sitting up there gassing away. I think it's fun. You know, I think people being able to switch on to get a glimpse of Birkdale in the Open at any time of the day. A bit like Wimbledon, you switch on now,
right?
Your morning match in Wimbledon. Yeah, it's great fun to just put that on for a little while. So I hope people join in and we can sense that they're watching.
I have no trouble with the coverage once the leaders get even on the first tee on Sunday, but up until Sunday, all the coverage, you know, it's interesting, but it's not like when you finally get to cover those final groups and they're actually teeing off on Sunday. Then I get all perky. I get all perked up.
Hi, I was wondering who's more likely to be in the final pairing going on Sunday, Phil Mickelson or Stenson, that we saw him with an epic shootout last year, and how will Phil not having Bones on his bag playing a factor?
Well, I'd go with Stenson, to be honest with you. I don't know if Phil's big misses are going to be real great at Birkdale. I don't know what you think, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, Phil's going over. He's going over early. I think he's arriving there Saturday, so he's keen. He wants to I think all these guys will tailor their games to make it work to suit, and you know, as we talk, I can't wait to get there as well. I'll be up there by next Monday. I'll get in there, and I'm actually going to play the course the next morning with Henrik and against Ernie Els and Louis Oosthuizen. So that's my birthday treat. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the course, and then you'll get a real good idea of. And the weather, I mean, what we predict for the weather. But, yeah, on paper, I think both those guys are bubbling under. But you've got to, you know, trying to defend Henrik. I think that will really spur him on, you know. So I don't know if they're going to make it. Highly unlikely going to be on Sunday in the last group, you know, but maybe one of them, you know.
You're also playing in the in the Senior Open at Royal Portugal the following week. Tell us a little bit about your golf game and how you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am. I'm looking for, you know, that's another. It's always good to gear up to play a links course. So, you know, I've been enjoying testing clubs and all sorts of things. So I think I'm a little bit more ready. I played a couple of weeks. Wasn't great, but you learn a lot. My foot was a little pronated. I've got some new A-liner orthotics in, so that's helped my right leg, which has helped my right hip. And Pete Costas gave me a few swing thoughts to get my right hip to really turn a lot more. So that helped. And, you know, I've been training and everything, so it's fun to gear up and pretend I'm going to be a golfer again for another week. It's good. Good laugh.
Nick and Johnny, thank you for joining. We'll see you guys at Royal Birkdale next week. And thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining the call.
All right, we'll see you there. Thanks, guys.
Okay, see you, birthday boy. Bye.
Bye, thanks. See you soon. Take care.